Welcome to Local Talk here on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, your host for the hour. Thank you for listening on this beautiful morning. And it is a beautiful day to be followed by a beautiful week, as is always to be expected right about now at the beginning of September. Sunny today with a high near 85. Days this week should be sunny with temperatures ranging between 78 and 85, and evenings will see clear skies and be in the 50s and 60s. These are the golden days, and it's interesting. I never was fully aware of these first 2 weeks in September until September 11th happened, and I remember on the day that the airplanes hit the World Trade Center in New York City, where I was, that it was such an incredibly beautiful day, which was such a stark contrast to the horror that we were all witnessing. Ever since then, the first 2 weeks in September, I notice how beautiful these first 2 weeks in September are. Before we go to the news, I want to just say one more thing about, or a few things about the wild ones, one of my favorite topics. First of all, Daddy Long Legs. A few weeks ago, I talked about the Daddy Long Legs in the basement living quarters that I am in. And thank you to the listener that wrote in and said that Daddy Long Legs are something different to everybody, and that she thought that what I was talking about was cellar spiders. Thank you for sending that hilarious drawing of a spider, Donna. And I appreciate all the emails I get about the wild ones with feedback. Now, about frogs, I just want to talk about frogs for a minute. Those of you who know me personally know that my sister died recently, and this has given me a lot to think about. And the other day, I went out to the Skunk River and sat on the edge of the Skunk River to think about my sister, and actually had some good thoughts. After about half a year of not-so-useful thoughts, I'm beginning to have some good thoughts about, or just useful thoughts about, getting perspective on Annette's death. And I was sitting by the edge of the Skunk River, and I was thinking about this and actually, frankly, speaking out loud to her and kind of making some peace with them things. And this frog jumped up on the log right next to me and sat with me. I don't know if you ever sit by rivers, that you may have noticed that sometimes frogs do this, but it was just really wonderful to have this frog sit there and listen to my monologue. And I just really felt that he was there to both hear what I was saying and also to kind of model sitting by the river in peace. And so shout out to all those frogs that come and sit by you by the edge of the river. And I guess they're kind of curious animals. Speaking of animals, we have a grapevine on the edge of our house. The grapevine is a Concord grapevine, and animals like raccoons, possums, they come and eat the grapes. So this year, we don't get any. In fact, they eat the grapes while they're green. So this year, we put a net around the grapes so that they couldn't get to the grapes because we wanted to be able to eat some ourselves. And so they did. The grapes ripened, and now the grapes are ready to pick. And so I went out there and started to pick them. And it turns out a swarm, or I don't know what you call them, I guess you'd call them a swarm, of yellow jackets has appropriated the grapes. And they are now trying to manage the grapes. And so I naively went out there to pick some grapes for dinner, and one of them flew right into my forehead and stung me. And that was last Thursday, and it still hurts. So, yeah, so now I need gear to go out and pick the grapes because the grapes are being managed by the yellow jackets. Okay, and finally, I don't know, have you noticed that there's a lot of groundhogs sitting on the edge of the street on 13th Street? It could be just me, but I see a lot of groundhogs out there. Okay, here's Dennis Hart with a summary of Iowa news from this past week.
The coronavirus continues making waves around Iowa. The man convicted of killing University of Iowa student Molly Tibbetts gets sentenced. And a new push to end abortion in Iowa. All made big news around the state last week. First, the coronavirus. The number of people infected with it in Iowa kept going up. The Department of Health reported more than 8,900 new cases, bringing the total number of coronavirus cases in the state since the pandemic started to nearly 442,000. That's nearly one out of seven people in Iowa who have gotten the virus. 22% of the new cases reported last week were children. The state's 14-day positivity rate was 8.6%, up from 8.2% the previous week. The state's average daily number of coronavirus cases is up nearly 1,700% since June. In addition, 39 more deaths from the coronavirus were reported in Iowa, bringing the total number of coronavirus-related deaths in the state to more than 6,300. One of those who died was a man incarcerated in the Iowa State Penitentiary. And the state reported that 524 Iowans were hospitalized with the virus last week. That's the highest number of hospitalizations in the state since last January. 79% of those hospitalized had not been vaccinated, and 90% of those in intensive care units were not vaccinated. And there was more. The state reported coronavirus outbreaks in 14 of Iowa's long-term care facilities. While all this was going on, the rate of vaccine doses being administered in Iowa went down last week for the second week in a row. 49% of Iowa's population had been vaccinated as of last Wednesday. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds told a news conference last week that, in her words, COVID is not going away, and urged Iowans to get vaccinated. Then the state announced it would start updating its online coronavirus dashboard three times a week, instead of the once a week it had been updated, and that the dashboard would start including the percentage of hospitalized people who are not vaccinated. At the same time last week, the governor declined to recommend that students should wear masks in schools, saying the opinion doesn't really matter, those were her words, because state law bans local school districts from making masks a requirement. And last week, word that the U.S. Department of Education would investigate whether the Iowa law that prohibits universal mask mandates in schools discriminates against students who have disabilities by putting them at greater risk of the coronavirus. U.S. Secretary of Education Miguel Cardona said it was unacceptable for state leaders to put politics over the health and education of the students they took an oath to serve. Governor Reynolds said President Biden was picking what she called a political fight. The Federal Education Department will also investigate Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Utah. And there was a report that parents of students with disabilities and disability rights groups were suing the state of Iowa, claiming that the law that bans mask mandates in schools discriminates against students with disabilities who are at higher risk for the coronavirus. The lawsuit is asking a judge to block the section of the law that forbids mask mandates in schools and to order the state to let school districts adopt mask mandates. Meanwhile, Tyson Foods announced last week that in exchange for requiring its employees to get vaccinated for the coronavirus, the meatpacking company will give workers more paid time off. For the first time, Tyson will give employees 20 hours of annual sick leave starting January 1st and give new hires a week of vacation after 6 months on the job, 6 months earlier than the previous requirement. All Tyson employees must receive the vaccine starting November 1st. 90,000 of its 120,000 employees have received at least their first shots. Tyson operates several pork processing and food plants in Iowa with locations in Columbus Junction, Council Bluffs, Independence, Perry, Storm Lake, and Waterloo. Also last week, Iowa Auditor Rob Sand urged state residents to get vaccinated, citing billions of dollars spent for coronavirus hospitalizations across the nation. He said, in his words, "We are all paying for these preventable hospitalizations, whether it be in the form of premiums to private insurers or costs to taxpayer-funded public programs." There was also word that Iowa has spent more than $2 million to fund the statewide in-house coronavirus testing program that launched in mid-July. Most of that money has gone toward a new contract with one of several Utah-based companies involved in the previous version of the Test Iowa program, which did not follow traditional competitive bidding processes. Now for the sentencing of the man convicted of killing University of Iowa student Molly Tibbetts in 2018. Last Monday afternoon, a judge sentenced Christian Bahena Rivera to life in prison without the possibility of parole, 2 months after Bahena Rivera was convicted of first-degree murder in Tibbetts' death. At his trial, Bahena Rivera claimed two masked men had forced him at gunpoint to drive them to a rural road where Tibbetts was abducted. He said he did not tell police about this because the men had threatened his former girlfriend and young daughter. The judge rejected Bahena Rivera's lawyer's request for a new trial. During Monday's sentencing hearing, an Iowa Attorney General's Office victim services staffer read a long victim impact statement from Tibbetts' mother, Laura Calderwood. In it, she told Rivera, among other things, "Molly was a young woman who simply wanted to go for a quiet run on the evening of July 18th, 3 years ago, and you chose to violently and sadistically end that life." And last week, a federal judge revoked the release of Doug Jensen, the Iowa man who was part of the mob that stormed the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. Jensen was in court Thursday morning after he violated the conditions of his release that was granted last month. He was found to have been streaming videos that questioned the legitimacy of last year's presidential election, a violation of one of the conditions of his return to Iowa to live at home. A district judge said Jensen continues to seek out conspiracy theories and sent him back to jail. Also last week, word that 60 Iowa Republican lawmakers are asking the state Supreme Court to overturn a 2018 ruling that declared abortion to be a fundamental right under the state constitution. Attorneys for conservative groups opposing abortion filed a brief with the court last Monday on behalf of 22 Republican state senators and 38 Republican state House members. Last year, Governor Reynolds signed into law a bill requiring a 24-hour waiting period before a woman can get an abortion. Planned Parenthood of the Heartland sued, and a judge struck down the law, citing the 2018 state Supreme Court ruling. And last week, word that an Iowa nursing home where workers were not trained in CPR and where a nurse allegedly refused to perform CPR on a patient who later died had been added to the list of the nation's worst nursing homes. The Altoona Nursing and Rehabilitation Center was cited for 12 regulatory violations this past June and was found to have placed all 95 residents of the home in immediate jeopardy. On the political front last week, former President Trump said he'd be returning to Iowa for a rally. No date has been set for that rally. Earlier this month, Trump's leadership committee hired two Iowa consultants, Eric Branstad and Alex Latchman, as senior advisors. Trump easily won Iowa in the 2016 and 2020 presidential elections. And former Republican presidential candidate and current Florida U.S. Senator Marco Rubio came to Ames last week, saying he's focused on helping the friends he made in Iowa while gearing up for his own re-election bid. Rubio spoke at a gathering with the Story County Republican Party. He criticized President Biden, saying the president cared more about the optics of ending the war in Afghanistan on a particular timeline than doing the job effectively. He said the United States is engaged in a debate about, in his words, whether America is truly a great country with a history to be proud of, or whether what we know about America should be torn down completely and rebuilt to something no one would recognize. Also last week, Iowa 1st Congressional District Republican incumbent Ashley Hinson announced she would run for re-election. She did that at a campaign event that featured Republican U.S. Senator Ted Cruz, who said, in his words, revival is coming for the nation. Hinson will be opposed by Iowa Democratic State Senator Liz Mathis. Cruz showed up the next day at a campaign event for Iowa 3rd Congressional District candidate Nicole Hasso. Hasso has announced she'll run against Democratic incumbent Cindy Axne. Cruz said he could not wait until New York Democratic incumbent Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez meets Hasso. In his words, Cruz said, "You might have to let me sell pay-per-view on that." In Ankeny last week, fire caused heavy damage to the Walnut Ridge Apartments on the city's north side. No one was injured, but the fire destroyed much of the roof of the complex, and there was heavy smoke and water damage as well. The chief fire marshal said the building was beyond repair and that the owners, in his words, would probably have to knock it down. Authorities said a cigarette likely caused the fire. Also last week, new details emerged about the Johnston man accused of placing multiple pipe bombs in Ankeny. Chad Williams is accused of making and possessing an explosive device and unlawful possession of a firearm. One of them blew up. No one was injured. A motion filed by Williams' lawyer said Williams targeted his ex-girlfriend's home and another man who was living there. And, of course, there was college football this weekend, Iowa style. Iowa State University opened its season by defeating the University of Northern Iowa at Jack Trice Stadium 16-10. And the University of Iowa opened its season against Indiana, defeating the Hoosiers 34-6. Next Saturday here in Ames, ISU plays the U of I. And yes, that game will attract a bit of interest around these parts, and nationally as well, because for the second time in 3 years, ESPN's Game Day pregame show next Saturday will be staged here in Ames. The main stage for the show will be between the End Zone Club and Ryman Gardens at Jack Trice Stadium. The show will kick off at 8 a.m. The game itself will start at 3:30. And that is your Labor Day summary of the week's news from all around Iowa. I'm Dennis Hart. Thank you for listening. I'll be right back here tonight at 7 on KHOI's Capital Week, when Laura Bellin and I will talk politics, Iowa style. Then I'll pay a return visit to this same virtual seat at Local Talk on Friday morning, when I'll report on what's been making news around Ames. I hope you'll be here for all of it. Have a great Labor Day.
And happy Labor Day, starting off with Sheena Easton's and her song 9 to 5. Big fan here of Sheena Easton. Thank you to you, Dennis Hart, for the amazing work you do every week preparing the news, and it is so appreciated. And this is Local Talk. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, your host, until 8 a.m. Ames Mayor John Hala, good morning. Thanks for joining me.
My pleasure, and a happy Labor Day to you, too.
So what was one of the jobs in your past that you really loved, besides being mayor of Ames, Iowa?
Well, you know what? You stole my thunder. My current job is one I thoroughly enjoy. When you asked me that, when you invited me, I thought, oh, wow, that's a great question. Honestly, there's two. I think one is, and it's funny, it's my first one. People won't believe it, but I worked at Baskin-Robbins Ice Cream when I lived in Southern California, and I had the joy of making and dispersing ice cream treats to people. I remember, family and friends would come in, and that was kind of a great joy. One of the benefits, I'm surprised I'm not 500 pounds because you can fix yourself your own dessert before you left. So I remember making a double chocolate with extra topping malt before I left. I should have been bloated by then. So anyway.
Well, I can imagine when you work in an ice cream place, you see a lot of happy people, right?
Oh, yes, you do. How about you? What was your favorite job?
Well, I love my job right now, working for Pacifica Network. And so, in terms of jobs from the past, I think the one that wins hands down is being a mounted ranger in New York City park system.
I had no idea. That's fascinating.
Yeah, I was on a date once in Central Park with when I was living in New York, and I saw somebody ride by on a horse with a uniform on that wasn't a police officer, and I said, "What is that?" And my date said, "Oh, those are the mounted park rangers in New York." And I finally managed to get myself to be one of those. And I kid you not, the horse that who was my working partner was a buckskin thoroughbred horse that used to belong to Elizabeth Taylor. His name was Tupper, and he was the most magnificent and big-hearted animal you could imagine. So lots of fun, lots and lots of fun. Got to watch all the best musical artists in the world from in outside concerts from the back of a buckskin thoroughbred. Doesn't get any better than that.
Amazing. How long did you do that for?
And they paid me to do it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, at the end of the summer, they decided to give the horses or turn the unit into a mounted police unit instead of a mounted ranger unit. And at that point in my life, I wasn't really prepared to become a police officer. So it only lasted a summer, but it was the best ever.
That's amazing.
It sure made living in New York City a whole new level of enjoyable.
Oh, and the things they said you saw and experienced.
Oh, yeah.
It's an insider's view. You should write a book.
Yeah, there was that voodoo ritual in the middle of the night on solstice night. That was interesting. Anyway, I actually asked Mayor Hala to join us for another reason. If you live in Ames, you may have noticed that the town's diversity crossrocks were repainted last week. And Mayor Hala, in case the person listening does not know exactly what I'm talking about, what are the diversity crosswalks?
They are right at the intersection of, actually outside your door, intersection of 5th and Douglas. They are a demonstration of the City of Ames and the Ames City Council's commitment to promote a sense of one community. And they are painted in a variety of colors. In fact, there's very much a main significance. One is the on Douglas, the ones that go east, that run east and west, are minority inclusive pride rainbow colors. And then on the east side, running north and south, east side of 5th, we have a gender non-binary pride. And then we have transgender pride on the west side of 5th. And I'm proud to say that Ames was the first Iowa city to do this. And we are among actually not a large number in the nation. So it's something that was, like you mentioned, just got repainted, and there's a little backstory on why it's not more permanent in nature in terms of cost. But we continue to be committed to it, and actually we're looking at Councilman Junk made a motion, and we're going to be looking at doing one in Campus Town also.
Oh, wow. So, in other words, if you probably have seen the crosswalk, but if you haven't, each stripe is a different color, as Mayor John Hala said, that represents diversity. And so it's a very colorful crosswalk. You mentioned that it's one of the few in the country. It also got national attention when it was created, right?
Yes, it did. The Federal Highway Transportation Office is only a few blocks away. And shortly after, I would say probably a few days after it was painted, we got a letter telling us to cease and desist, that only crosswalks can only be painted white. We were, first of all, taken aback by the fact that something that was really, in our opinion, something that was meant to make Ames even more welcoming and inclusive would be something that would be in our own city streets, be something that fall in their jurisdiction. So we took it seriously. We had our city attorney contact the agency. He asked for some documentation to show that that in fact was true. And in fact, before we painted them, Damian Pressiger, our traffic engineer, who was incredibly, in fact, Public Works was incredibly supportive and very excited about the project also. And they provided the labor both times, and City Council helped fund the paint. He saw that there was no reason why you couldn't do that before we even went ahead and did to begin with. So we were surprised. And anyway, they just said, nope, you got to take them off. And City Council just voted unanimously. When they voted unanimously first to do it, and secondly, they voted unanimously to not follow their direction. We said, you don't have any jurisdiction. We're not going to take them off. And so the city attorney let them know and said, hey, if you find something else to justify removing it, let us know. And that's the last we heard of them. So we're glad that it ended right there, but I won't go into why we think it happened. But the bottom line is it's there and it's going to stay there.
Well, as a statement, it certainly was a very successful statement. I know that KHOI got a lot of emails from all around the country about this because apparently it made national news. And so in terms of making a bold statement on behalf of the diversity or the importance of diversity to Ames, Iowa, the statement was definitely made. Well, probably more than you expected.
Yes. But, you know, I think it's we want everyone in Ames to feel welcome regardless of the background. And this is a segment, you know, of our population who calls Ames home that we believe needed to hear, see, and feel the fact that we stand behind them. And frankly, when we were asked to remove them, it made me even more aware of the fact of how people who identify, you know, and that in those groups feel too. And so, honestly, it got my ire up a little bit. So it's like, you know, wait a minute. I mean, this is an innocuous. And you can't tell me this is. I mean, the premise was, well, people will either stand there and be looking at them. Well, we hope so. That's but like standing in the middle of the street or pictures, or it's going to distract drivers. And it's just like all felonious and bogus arguments, in our opinion. And to my knowledge, there's actually been no, and it's actually a four-way stop too. Mm-hmm. So we've had no issues, you know, there. So we're pleased. And I said it's been so successful. We're exploring one possibly in the maybe around the clock town, the clock,
uh-huh. You know, on Welch.
Mm-hmm. That was actually the vision several years ago. And certainly you've heard this probably 1,000 times. You know, COVID kind of interrupted a lot of mm-hmm. plans and conversations. So
yeah. Well, Mayor Haler, while I have you here on Local Talk, big week for Ames. Talk a little bit about what's happening.
Oh my gosh, yes. Well, first of all, one of the reasons for repainting the crosswalk at this time was we have Pride Fest, which I believe I haven't seen the full agenda, but I think part of it is being virtual potentially, which we understand out of abundance of caution. But they call it the Iowa Super Bowl. Iowa State will be playing on Saturday. And I just heard last night that ESPN announced that they're coming back to town for the second time for game day, which will give Ames, again, a national spotlight for those who are interested in sporting events. I understand there's people that don't, and we respect that also. But it's my very limited understanding that ESPN doesn't very often, do a repeat, and I think it was just a couple of years ago that they were here. But that's a credit to, Iowa State Athletics, the Ames community. So you have RVTV is going to be here Friday night with a big, celebration. So it's, on the national news, local news. And then you have ESPN, and it's just going to showcase our community. And I'll just say, too, is I had the privilege of meeting Matt Campbell this summer at an event for a few minutes. I just want to give a huge shout-out to the way he approaches building teams, and I think that the new basketball coach the same way. It's building characters, building citizens. Winning's important. You have to win to have a successful program and to attract athletes, but when I read in the paper or listen on the radio and hear what he's doing to build character in these young men, and think about the fact that our team went through all of last year with only two or three COVID cases, and it was very limited, and the entire team, even the redshirt people, adhered to all the protocol through the whole season, just demonstrates what he's building. And I think that sometimes is the unsung, unmentioned a success of the program, because football will only last for a short while for these, most of these kids. But character and being a citizen and giving back. And I actually had several coaches mention to me, including Coach Dressler, the wrestling coach, says, "Hey, we want to do things in the community to give back to the community. Let me know what we can be doing." And so I think that while sometimes athletics gets a lot of attention, partly because it does make, provide income for the programs, it's an important thing for our community, and I just appreciate the character focus, not just the athleticism or having to win at all costs type of approach. So, pretty exciting, and I will ask for people to be patient, understanding. I mean, a lot of traffic, a lot of things going on, but it's just nice to see activity once again. And I know talking with Ames Convention Visitor Bureau, they're seeing hotels are really starting to, to come back, the hospitality industry, and we need that to be successful.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mayor John Hala, and I'm going to let you go back to your holiday. And
all right.
But thanks for getting up and spending a few minutes with us here on Local Talk.
Always a pleasure, Ursula. Thank you for asking me.
Okay, take care. And this is Local Talk here on KHY Community Radio. I'm your host for the hour, Ursula Rudenberg, wishing you a happy Labor Day. This day of appreciation for work in whatever form, hopefully you can spend a few minutes reflecting on appreciating the work you do. Oh, and good work on Saturday, ISU Cyclones. It's also a good day to reflect on heroic work being done by many around the world right now, helping others in urgent need, because heaven knows we have enough crisis going on, be it fighting fires, rescuing people from floods, reinstating electricity in the south, evacuating people from Afghanistan, and so many more situations of extreme need, including, of course, the medical profession dealing with the upsurge and the resurgence of the pandemic. Later today at 4 p.m. during the show, Radio Social, Dr. Mark Allen Deary from New Orleans will be joining us here on KHOI. Dr. Deary is a colleague in community radio. He's the manager of WHIV Community Radio in New Orleans, but he's also one of the country's and the world's leading experts on infectious diseases and public health, and he'll be checking in. We're very lucky that he's going to take a few minutes from his crazy life right now to share some firsthand reports with you about simultaneously coping with COVID and Hurricane Ida at the same time. So to hear his story, tune in at 4 p.m. on Radio Social or watch it on Facebook at KHOI Community Radio. Okay, I have collected a bunch of songs about work in honor of Labor Day. So let's kick off the holiday. Enjoy.
As hard as you, hot desert sun, you can feel the heat. Every drop of sweat on your brow is well earned, so you best believe. I got a thousand hugs and kisses for you when you come back home, baby. I got a thousand hugs and kisses for you when you come back home, baby. When you give him your all, still it's only second best. You can come and lay your head upon your baby's chest. Every one of your worries, all your misery, you can put them in a little boat and ship them off to sea. 'Cause I got a thousand hugs and kisses for you when you come back home, baby. I got a thousand hugs and kisses for you when you come back home, baby.
Ooh. I got a thousand hugs and kisses when you come back home.
Can be, well, to put it frankly, such a sometimes. Seems like love that lasts forever. It's kind of hard to find. Most of the people we know just looking for a reason to cry. As long as you got me, I got your back, and this is why. You work so hard, you really do. I don't think that anyone could work as hard as you. You can lock the door. Better turn off your phone. I'm gonna give you a thousand reasons why we need to be alone.
Stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets, the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living, barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind. Just a step on the boss man's ladder, but you got dreams he'll never take away. In the the same boat with a lot of your friends, waiting for the day your ship will come in and the tide's gonna turn and it's all gonna roll your way. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving. Because use your mind and you never get the credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you love it. 9 to 5, yeah, they got you where they want you. There's a better life when you think about it, don't you? It's a rich man's game, no matter what they call it. And you spend your life putting money in his wallet. 9 to 5, oh, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and they never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it. 9 to 5, yeah, they got you where they want you.
Many a union maid who stood up to the bosses so staunch and unafraid. Molly Jackson, Mother Jones fought for a better way. But let's sing of Fanny Sellins and remember her today. All over Pennsylvania, Fanny spread the union word. In the coal fields and the company towns, her voice of hope was heard. United we will bargain, but divided we must beg. Fanny Sellins spread the dreams of the UMWA.
A widow with 4 children toiling 80 hours a week found time to fight injustice and bring power to the meek. She fought with tireless energy, no duty would she shirk. Though murderers that short her life, we carry on her work.
In the company slums of Ducktown in the summer of 19, an unarmed striking miner was gunned down by deputies. When Fanny cried out, spare his life, they shot her down as well. And hundreds watched in horror as this fearless woman fell. Now the ones who gave the orders faced no charge of any sort, and the men who pulled the triggers were acquitted by the court. But when companies own the courthouse, justice fails for you and me. So let's work like Fanny Sellins now for true equality.
A widow with 4 children toiling 80 hours a week found time to fight injustice and bring power to the meek. She fought with tireless energy, no duty would she shirk. Though murderers cut short her life, we carry on her work. Though murderers cut short her life, we carry on her work.
Yeah.
the bosses we must fight for. From the cities and the farmlands to trenches full of mud, war has always been the bosses' wiser. Brothers and our sisters in many far off lands, there is power in a union. Now I long for the morning that I realize brutality and unjust laws cannot defeat us. But who'll defend the workers who cannot organize when the bosses send their lackeys out to cheat us? For his own, who comes to speak for the skin and the bone? What a comfort to the widow, a light to the child. There is power in a union.
Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment line. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds just like, who are people gonna rise up and get their share? Who are people gonna rise up and take what's there? Don't you know you better run, run, run? But a revolution, yes, finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about a revolution, oh no. Talking about a revolution, oh, while they're standing in the welfare lines, crying to those of the armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds. And finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about a revolution. Yes, finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about a revolution. Oh no. Talking about a revolution.
Take this job and shut it. I ain't running no more. Come on, let's get this order. We just got a good report. You see that guy thing always just walking out the door. Take this job and shut it, and we're here no more. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. I'm already in the cold. I've been working for. If I got a thing, I'm already walking out the door. Take this job and shove it. I work here no more.
but now I'm 50 years. Oh, it's time I do, I will look down into the tears. I've seen a lot of people die, I have a little to pay. I get the shirt right off my back if I had the nerve. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. I'm gonna get the corner, we've got a good before. You came outside and stand away and walking out the door. Take this job and shove it, I won't be here no more. That woman who's a witness on that apple tree, the fool. Got brand new skin and haircut, you think he's a fool. What is it, I'm more my time, that's something he's gonna pay. That day just see the organization, I burn it if I'm free and safe. Take this job and shove it, I ain't going there no more. I'm gonna let you fall, the reason I didn't work before. If he's a side of him, I'll make him walk in the door. Take this job and shove it, I won't hear no more. Take this job and shove it, I won't hear.
And this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm your host for the hour, Ursula Rudenberg, and we have been listening to music for Labor Day. And you just heard the Dead Kennedys with Take This Job and Shove It. Also, we heard Talking About a Revolution by Tracy Chapman, Billy Bragg with There Is Power in a Union, Donna Summers with She Works Hard for the Money, Union Made by Ann Feeney, who great labor music, folk musician who died this year from COVID. 9 to 5 by Dolly Parton, the classic. And we started with Prince with 1,000 Hugs and Kisses. So this is a Labor Day special just to kick off the holiday with some music, ease into it. I hope you will have a good day. I'm going to close out with a little bit more music for you. And so I'm going to sign off now so we can just kind of go out with the music. This has been Local Talk. Be sure to tune in tonight at 7 p.m. for Capital Week. And if you'd like to hear a firsthand report on what's happening on the ground in New Orleans, both with the hurricane and with COVID, Dr. Mark Allen Deary from New Orleans will be speaking with us at 4 p.m. at Radio Social. Now that his electricity has been turned back on, and he is a working hero for sure. Stay tuned after this for headline news and Democracy Now! At 8 a.m. and Morning Masterpieces at 9 a.m. And remember that you, the working listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening. We'll see you again on the radio. Have a great Labor Day, and let's go out with a little bit more music. Enjoy.
Good morning, Mr. Time Clock. How are you today? Did you miss me, Mr. Time Clock? While I was away, I've been spending time with my family. I've been home for the holiday. Don't you worry, Mr. Time Clock. I'm back on the job today. A little time off is a dangerous thing. It only makes you want some more. One of these days, Mr. Time Clock, I'm gonna walk right out that door. I'm gonna punch out Mr. Time Clock, who you never cut me any slack. And it's so long, Mr. Time Clock, I ain't never coming back. Just the people that I owe, and my 7 little reasons, they all need new shoes, so they can walk the streets of heaven, and sing these time clock blues. A little time off is a dangerous thing, it only makes you want some more. One of these days, Mr. Time Clock, I'm gonna walk right out that door. Mr. Time Clock, oh, you never cut me any slack. And it's so long, Mr. Time Clock, I ain't never coming back. Well, I took my wife and family on vacation. 7 kids in a pickup truck. A dog and a cat and a parakeet. And you know it was just my luck. By the time we got to the motel, my vacation time was through. So good morning, Mr. Time Clock. How doodly do you do? Yeah, a little time off is a dangerous thing and only makes you want some more. One of these days, Mr. Time Clock, I'm gonna walk right out that door. I'm gonna punch out, Mr. Time Clock, oh, you never cut me in this line. And it's so long, Mr. Time Clock, I ain't never coming back. And it's so long.
Down the road about 5 miles from here, the highway moans as it grows each year. It's bringing business in from far away. $4 for the workers' pay. Workers come and then workers go. Up on the freeway and down the road. Mortgage houses, mortgage lights. TV dinners and TV wives. The night is brighter than it used to be. A new convenience store sells gasoline. It never closes, they say it's the best. Got a lot of tickets and cigarettes. The other day there was a crash. One more dreamer who's not coming back. He hung her jacket on a cross. He crossed the center line.